Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you, human being. Yeah, you. Did you realize we were made from the earth, the actual soil? You couldn't have realized that, because if you would realize that, you wouldn't be putting chemicals on your skin, because it's like putting chemicals in a plant. What do you put on a plant? Water, some sunlight, and sometimes plant food, depending on how stubborn the plant is. Same thing with our skin. Same thing with our hair. So check out my products, Shamika Body, Hair, and Face Butter Treats on Facebook, and view the price list, the product list, the pictures, and place your order on my email at shamikarobinson1@outlook.com. Stop using chemicals. There is no such thing as eczema and all these ridiculous skin diseases that they're naming. It's called your body is responding to chemicals. So stop letting your body respond to chemicals and get nature involved with natural shea butters and cocoa butters and oils. Again, you were made from the earth. So stop fighting against your nature.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. It's Shamika Tia. Today is Sunday, August 28th, 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much for joining me today, taking time out of your busy schedules. Today's the first day of the week, so usually people are preparing for the work week, and I really do appreciate the time that you take out of your busy schedules to join me. That's much appreciated. We have an awesome show today. It's a study of the seven feasts. Okay, obviously the seven feasts of the Lord. I kept it, you know, simplified to seven feasts because we call it a few things. So we'll just keep it seven feasts for now. Okay, and before I get started, I just want to give you a little background. Again, my name is Shamika Tia. I'm 40 years old. I live in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, which is in the Poconos. I am the mother of one male child. I'm self-employed. I work from home making all-natural body products from head to toe. What else? I'm not a pastor. I'm not a leader. I'm not a Christian. I don't follow any type of organized religion. However, I am an Israelite, and I am studying and growing in the Word, and I have invited you to take the journey with me. So that's what all my shows are about. And it's been a great journey. I mean, I've been learning so much. It's one of these things where you have to kind of, I'm not going to say reteach ourselves, but this time we have to let God do the teaching. I mean, he said that from the beginning, that he is the teacher. But a lot of us have, you know, went into various organizations, and because of that, we kind of like fell off with the true word of God, and We branched off into religion, we branched off into rituals and customs, etc., and we strayed off the road called straight. So in these last few years, it's going to be very, very important to let God be the teacher this time, let Jesus be the teacher this time, let the Holy Spirit be the teacher this time. And, of course, he's going to be sending us to ministries that we are to learn from, absolutely. But we always want to make sure that they, too, are hearing from God and allowing God to be the teacher of that organization, whatever the organization is, whether it be Bible study classes or you go to church, whatever it is, you want to make sure God is the head and the foundation, and he is actually the teacher using that vessel standing in front of you. That is going to be so important. We were warned about the false prophets, the false teachers, the false Christs, the false doctrine. I mean, we've been warned about that from the beginning, but now more than ever, the enemy is getting so desperate, and we can't keep blaming the enemy for things that God has warned us about. So let's make sure, again, whatever resources we are using, books, YouTube videos, including my shows, we always want to make sure that God is absolutely at the head of that, and, you know, the teaching is coming right out of the Scripture, okay? Having said that, let me say a quick prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for this day, the day that you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you so much for this platform Thank you so much for your son, Jesus the Christ, our Messiah, that has come to the earth to restore us back to our original nature, which is in your image, to wake us back up. Thank you. Thank you for forgiveness of sin, past, present, and future, already covered. Thank you so much for that, Father God. And Father God, I pray that you lead us in the right direction during the show. I pray that no enemy will come and eat up the seed of what's going to be sown or what's going to be harvested. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's, again, that's something that you have responsibility for. If any of my shows, and I can't talk about everything I don't know. I just want to keep it exclusive to my shows. If something is implanted in you, you can almost bet $1 million that the enemy will come and try to eat up that seed. It happens on all my shows almost. You get someone on there naysaying or someone challenging. They never challenge what I'm saying. They bring up random stuff that is so off topic, and that's why they do it. They do it to cause confusion, to bring division, and what? Discredit the speaker. I mean, that's always been the tactic, and if you allow that to happen, then, oh, well, that's on you. You know, when you're rooted and grounded, like I said, it doesn't matter who the teacher is. If the teacher is a little child from an atheist, you know, atheists have taught me a few things about this word, and they don't even believe it, but they know what it says, and they were the ones that taught me a few things, you know, things that I should have already known. So I thought to say, don't look at the messenger, look at the message. And if you do that, it's almost impossible to get off the road call straight. Okay, and having said that, you know, I always start off with the 7 rules regarding prophecy. The first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule is to give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. Third rule, do not seek for hidden meanings. The fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. The sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number 7, let the Bible be its own interpreter. And again, if you keep those 7 rules at the forefront of your mind, at the forefront of your heart, like I said, it's almost impossible to fall for a false doctrine. And you can just go to the Word. The Word is confirmation, amongst other things, amongst being a weapon, amongst being, you know, it's everything. The Word of God is everything, but it's also confirmation. If someone's telling you something that God said or Jesus said and it's outside of what the Bible says, then you can pick up immediately that that is false doctrine, because it would not contradict the Bible. If you think you're hearing something yourself personally from God or from, you know, the Spirit, again, it should not contradict the Bible. It should be, right, of course, our names and specific situations is not in the Bible, but it should be something along the line that will confirm what it is you heard. So, okay, keep that in mind, please. Especially, like I said, especially these last few days, the desperation is ridiculous right now. It is very ridiculous. You know, people are being attacked in their bodies and their souls and their minds and their spirits, and that doesn't have to be. He says his people perish from lack of knowledge. So if you get yourself equipped with that knowledge and we begin to start putting on the whole armor of God, then guess what? What did he say? Then we can withstand the wiles of the devil. Okay? Let's keep that in our minds, including me. Let's keep that in the forefront of our minds. Okay? All right, so back to topic. The show, again, is called 7 Feasts. So let's get into this 7 feasts. And first, let me tell you why this is so important to me. Growing up, you know, I grew up in various denominations. At one point, we were in a Pentecostal church. At one point, we were in a Christian church, Baptist church, you know, I mean, you name it. We didn't get all crazy with those other stuff, but, you know, we just, you know, we had a different, you know, a few churches we went to. And for the most part, we called ourselves Christians. And according to what we thought, a Christian was a person that believed in the Godhead. You know, God is the Father, Jesus as the Son and the Holy Spirit as the guide. And if, you know, you share that in common, then you were called a Christian. And I'm not saying that's not true. I'm saying I discovered a few years back that I am actually an Israelite. So when you discover, or if God shows you or points to you too being an Israelite, then you begin to read the Bible in a whole nother direction and realize the stuff that we always saw those Jews doing, I'm going to say fake Jews doing, we thought, oh, okay, well, that's what those Jews do, because that's what the Bible said they needed to do. We did not in a million years would have thought it was a role reversal, a whole nationality reversal. I mean, who knew? Who knew? So when you find that out, then you have to kind of, like I said, retrain yourself and relearn all over again that, wait a minute, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. You know? For example, a lot of people have a problem with Paul's teachings as opposed to Jesus' teachings. And that's actually a big controversy, including present day. You know, I get people say, well, Paul contradicted Jesus. Paul never contradicted anybody. What happened is Paul was speaking to the Gentiles. Jesus was speaking to Israelites. So it's, I'm not going to say separate teachings. I am going to say different expectancy when it comes to Israelites versus Gentiles. Okay, there's a certain level of expectancy that God requires, again, as a, from Gentiles versus, you know, if you want to call them Jews, I'm just going to say Israelites. I like to use the same titles God used and Jesus used. You know, I see Hebrew being used, and I also see Israelites, but I like to keep it exclusive to Israelite because Hebrew is not the 12 tribes. Although they were Hebrews, the promise and the Bible is about the Israelites. That's the 12 tribes of Jacob, name turned into Israel. So that's how when I speak, I like to keep it exclusive. I don't like to talk about things I don't know. I like to talk about things I do know. Okay, so keep that in mind. This show is going to be for Israelites. If you are a Gentile, if you are a Christian, whatever you are, that's fine. That's fine. You need the knowledge no matter what. But like I said, I can't. It's only a two-hour show, so I don't have time to study what someone else is supposed to be doing. You know, I'm studying what I'm supposed to be doing or what I believe the Spirit is leading me to be doing. You know what I mean? So if you can identify with that, then you would understand what I'm saying. Whatever religion you are, that's good for you. Again, I'm going to be referring to the Israelites because I stumbled across it years ago that I was an Israelite. So now this Bible has become alive for me. And I realized I was slacking off with a lot of stuff, a lot of responsibility that was entrusted in me, a lot of expectation. And now I can read and go, oh, my God, wow, look at this, look at that. You know, I'm seeing a whole other perspective, and it's absolutely amazing. It's not nothing negative. It's absolutely amazing. Okay, so just wanted to give you a little background on that because, again, you know, you get people who go, oh, well, after Jesus came, we don't got to do that. And because who's teaching? Who said what? And who are they talking to? For example, you got a lot of people, I'm going to say probably the majority of the world, that goes around saying that women can't be teachers or women can't teach. Why? Because Paul said some things to those women, and then to this present day, we have, you know, I'm going to say powerful people of God that are actually shunning women away from that pulpit because they didn't understand that. Israelite women always played a role in ministry. I mean, like I said, Deborah at one point ruled Israel. She was a ruler. So if you rule, you're doing way more than teaching. So where was God in all of that? Where was Jesus in all of that? You know, why would you go around telling women, nope, you got to shut up and you can't teach because Paul said this to those women. Those were Gentile women that Paul was speaking to. Why? They needed to be taught order. they wasn't in order. They were out of order in ministry. You know, they were in congregations yelling out across the, you know, so Paul had came to restore order in those churches. And to this present day, you know, like I said, people will shut women up. If you get them, if they're standing there, they want to stand there. It's well, you can make announcements, or well, you can speak for a little bit, but you can't teach, and you can't be a pastor, and you can't. And I'm thinking, where is God in all this? Like, where does it say that? And then when they finally showed it to me, I was like, oh, okay, it's there. But guess what? Who's speaking? And who is he speaking to? Very, very important. You can land on a few scriptures in this Bible, and if you are not aware of who's speaking and who they're speaking to, you will teach yourself false doctrine. The whole book of Job, all the way up to the very end, Job and his homeboys is keying back and forth about what they think Job is experiencing. And they all had it wrong. So if you landed on Job and you picked up on a couple of things that Job and his homeboys was talking about, and then you closed it and then you ran off with that, you have then ran away with false doctrine. You taught yourself false doctrine. Why? You didn't understand who was speaking. You didn't understand who they were speaking to. And you didn't even understand, in the end of Job, God told them that they all were wrong. So you can easily, very easily, pick up on false doctrine if you're not careful. That's why you should be very careful with this Bible or with any material that you're using in your, I'm going to say, spiritual walk. You shouldn't even be involved in religion at this point. I mean, if you are, really. I mean, really, when you were a child, you do things, when you're an adult, you do things. At this point, you should not be involved in any type of religion. You should be, like I said, tap into your spirituality walk and continue to press and tap into spirituality. That way you're not really listening to what a man says or a woman says. You're listening to what God says. You know, you're listening to what your spirit says. Who can lie to you if God is telling you something himself? Who can lie to you or teach you some false doctrine if Jesus is speaking to you himself? Who can lie to you and teach you false doctrine if the Holy Spirit is giving you nuggets and downloads in your own spirit? It's impossible. The Bible says it's impossible. It says it's impossible to fool the very elect. So if you are trapped in false doctrine, that's your own fault. You can't blame nobody but yourself. You know, and it's not entirely your fault. You know, like I said, people discredit this Bible so much. And then you got to kind of ask yourself, why? Because that's how I am. I'm the type of person, if you always talk about this person over here, you know what? I want to tap in and see what's so interesting about that person that you would went all the way out your way to discredit them. That's how I got down. That's how I got down all my life. If I see too many people talking about the same person, well, what is it about that person that he's on the tip of everybody's tongue? Or she's on the tip of everybody's tongue? Like, that's what made me press in and tap in more to that person, especially with this Bible. You will not hear too many other books being discredited more than this Bible. You will not hear too many men of God discredited more than Jesus. You don't hear them discrediting David. You don't hear them discrediting Moses. You don't hear them discrediting Samson and all the other men in the Bible. Who you hear them discrediting? Jesus. So that's what makes me press in more, because I'm like, wow. Well, out of all the people in the Bible, why are you just, you know, zoomed in on Jesus? Word? Well, let me tap into Jesus a little bit more, because he's obviously a threat to you. Like, that's how my mind always thought and worked, and I'm glad it did. You know, I don't jump on bandwagons really quick. You know, you're going to have to, I'm going to have to watch you ride your bandwagon out a little bit before I jump on it. Make sure the wheels are spinning correctly. Anyway, having said that, if you are joining on the phone or via the internet, I have my chat box open. I have the lines. If you have a question or comment, please feel free to press 1. We're just getting started. So I seen someone else had their 1 pressed, but they hung up. So, but if you have a question or comment, press 1, and I will unmute your mics. But let's get started. Okay, so we're dealing with the 7 feasts. Let's find out first what the 7 feasts are before we start dissecting them a little bit. And again, like I said, this is a study. So you need to keep that in mind. This is a study. And what made me do this study, I happened to celebrate Feast of Tabernacle last year for the first time in my life, and it was out of this world. I mean, I'll probably go into the story a little bit later if we have time. But when I did that and it was out of this world, I realized my whole life I had been missing out on something more spiritual than you could ever imagine, just from not knowing, just from not participating. And that's how these feasts work. It's an invitation to participate in something great. You can reject it, or you can accept the invitation. And that's what these feasts are. You can say, oh, that's not for us these days, or that's for the this, or that's for the, you know. Everybody likes to, you know, you make an excuse when they don't want to do stuff, or if it's going to be too much work for them, or it's going to inconvenience their schedule, then they just wipe it out. But like I said, this is not that time to be wiping out stuff that we are supposed to be as Israelites, that we're supposed to, that it's almost like expected of us to do and participate. So let's go over what the seven feasts are. Okay, so turn to, again, I'm reading from the King James. I won't touch no other version other than this, besides to maybe see what it says in that version, but I keep it right here in the King James. And those that follow my show know why. They replace certain words that was deceptive to me, and I got turned off real quick. I get turned off really easy when I see important words being supplemented for less important words, or words that we wouldn't be familiar with these days. I thought that's the point of an easier-to-read version. So if you are supplementing words and making it more complicated than the original text, to me that's deception, and I stay away from that. So anyway, we are in the King James Version of Leviticus chapter 23. Let's start right in the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work here therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now that's the Sabbath, so I don't want to take up too much time on the Sabbath, and especially I think the Sabbath deserves its own show, because that topic is so broad. If we have time after we cover the seven feasts, then we'll get back, because it's technically 8 feasts, you know, including the Sabbath. But if we have time at the ending of the show, then I'll do that. Like I said, I think the Sabbath deserves a separate show, because there's so many different opinions about it. Some say it's the seventh day. Some say no matter what day you choose, long as you pick one day to set it aside and be, you know, there's so many different, you know, and I am not seasoned enough to say, okay, it's Friday night to Saturday. I'm not, because a lot of things that I read and a lot of different people I've spoken with say otherwise. So like I said, it's half, it's really divided. Half say, no, it's definitely Friday night to Saturday night. Half say, well, it's Sunday, and then the other half is, well, it's whatever day you put aside, long as it's one day, you know. And like I said, it's so many different opinions, and I don't like talking about stuff, you know. I'm not, like I said, I'm not seasoned in that area to say yay or nay to either one, you know. But anyway, so what we're going to do with the seven feasts today, and then, like I said, maybe set up a separate show regarding the Sabbath, and have everybody kiki about their opinions, because like I said, if it's something good, it's something good, you know. Now, if you're working and you're going to quit your job and at a job God told you to work at, and you, because you're going to be so holy on the Sabbath, like I remember my son telling me, there's a guy that shows up late to work on a particular day, and he comes in and says, well, I have to pray at this time. You know, like, to me, that's ignorant. You're showing up late to work on this, but, you know, consistently, and you're saying because it's, you're praying, like, you're so spiritual. Come on, God is a God of order. You know, he's about order. And this guy is obviously out of order. Like, you know, does he really, you know, like I said, anyway, I don't want to get into it, but like I said, people got their own little, I call it rituals and things they do, and they don't realize, is that biblical? Is that biblical? You know, you think it's okay to keep showing up late for work, and he'll be the same one that gets fired and then blame God when he broke. You're like, that's how it goes. They'll be the same one that gets fired because he's, you know, his tardies, and the same one that'll be hollering, God, well, I was praying to you, God, now I lost my job. Okay, let me let that go. Anyway, so where are we? Leviticus chapter 23. So we covered the Sabbath. Now let's get into the feast. Verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which he shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And like I said, I'm just going to list them for now, and then we'll get into it. Verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. Verse 7, in the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 70th day, is in holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein. Verse 9, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf an he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2 tenths deal of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. Now watch this. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. I'm sorry, I got to put the show on hold. My son is calling on over. Hold on one quick second, because he knows I'm doing my show now. Hold on a second. I'm sorry about that. My son was away for the weekend, so I didn't want to miss that call. Okay, sorry about that. Where was it? Yeah, this is the most... Well, now, listen to this. This is, again, Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 14, and ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. Now watch this. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Who's talking? Okay. And what did he say? A statute forever. Like I said, a lot of people like to say, oh, it's the same thing as the laws, and the laws are done away with and all that. Well, that's not what this says. Okay? Remember, we got to let the Bible be its own interpreter. This says a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Okay? Now let's keep going, because I'm just listing the seven feasts. I'm listing them first. Verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 tenths deal. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven. They are the first fruits of the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. And verse 19, then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats. Now, let me stop really quick right there, because a lot of people, when they seen kid, they thought it meant children. You know, what kind of God would have you sacrifice children? You know, they don't understand a kid is a baby goat, okay? So don't think it's a kid. Anyway, then you shall sacrifice 1 kid, and it tells you right there. See how the Bible is its own interpreter, but then there's other parts that don't explain that a kid is a goat. So you have to just, you know, you have to be familiar with Scripture to understand that. A lot of people that say that, they're just not familiar with Scripture. Okay, 19. So then you shall offer 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be in holy convocation to you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwelling throughout your generations. Okay? And, okay, like I said, I'm just listing the, so far we've covered, well, let me just keep going. Verse 22, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make a clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. See, we got to understand who's talking here. This is God speaking here. Verse 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, in the 1st day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute for generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at even, from even unto even, shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. Verse 33, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the feast of tabernacle for 7 days unto the Lord. On the 1st day shall be in holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. Verse 37, these are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day, beside the Sabbath of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. Okay, let's keep going. We're almost done. Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first, and ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days, all that are Israelites born, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. Okay, so those are the feasts of the Lord. Now let's list them very clearly. Okay, so what's the first feast that we brought up? Passover. Okay, and those that don't understand what Passover is when the children were, you know, back in Joseph's days. We, you know, remember Joseph got sold into slavery from his own brothers, ended up in Egypt, did some great mighty things in Egypt, so we ended up staying. It was a big famine, so everybody else got killed and starved. Joseph preserved humanity at that point by way of the Lord, you know, being a chosen vessel. Also preserved Egypt. However, after that pharaoh died, a new pharaoh rose up, and all of a sudden now we became slaves in hard bondage. And so the children of God cried out to God. God raised up Moses. Moses, all right, get my people out of here. It's time for them to go. The Egyptians were worshiping a whole bunch of idols and all this other stuff. So God did a demonstration with, I believe it was nine plagues. One of the plagues was to smite their firstborn sons, okay? And what he told the Israelites to do was to, you know, this is what the Passover is all about. He told them to, actually, let's just go to it. Let's go to it. Where is it? Exodus 12. Exodus chapter 12. Yes, Exodus chapter 12. Yeah, Exodus chapter 12. Okay, again, this is the Passover. So all the seven feasts is Passover. That's one. Unleavened bread. First fruits. Pentecost. Trumpets. Atonement. And tabernacles. Okay, there's spring feast and then there's fall feast. So let's deal with the spring feast first. The first one is Passover. And that's discussed in Exodus chapter 12. So let's just go there and read it so we can understand. Because a lot of people they're just born celebrating these things. You know, you go to church and they're giving you these palms, and you really, like me, I really didn't even understand what that was all about. You know, it was a little creepy if you don't understand what it's about. Like, okay, what is this? It's a little creepy, you know, if you don't understand what it's about. So let's find out what it's about. Exodus chapter 12, let's start right in the beginning, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses. I had to get something to drink. I have this fan blowing right in my face, and my mouth is getting dry. Okay, excuse me. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of their souls. Every man. In other words, if you only got a couple people, share. In other words, share the lamb. You know, don't, you know, and what, not going to waste. At the same time, you want it to be enough, is what he, you know. See how detail-oriented our God is? Okay. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month. and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And it shall take, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hands, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Okay? So you understand the specific instructions. And again, for those that are seasoned in this area, we know that's exactly who Jesus is. You see how specific our Creator is, and do you see how specific his Son was when he was observing the times, exactly what time to go on that cross, exactly what time he died? Everything was so relevant to what? This, because he was the Passover. So, you know, like I said, it was a very, very deep. I actually did a study on that called The Lamb, the Passover Lamb, and I did a very, very great study. It was showing the contrast between Old Testament and New Testament, because you got a lot of people that are, they're so Old Testament that they can't accept the New, and vice versa. They're so New Testament that they can't accept the Old, because they don't understand the contrast between the two and the relevancy of the two. You know, you can't understand one without the other. You know, you don't want to be all OT and convicting yourself of things that was already done, okay, including Passover. This is why we no longer need to sacrifice animals. He wants us to celebrate it in, as a memorial, but, no, you know, no longer. And the funny thing is people go out and they get lamb and they eat lamb and all this other stuff. How did that get killed? You know, so I can't even really say, I'm not going to say they should not be sacrificing animals, because somebody's sacrificing that animal that you're buying in the supermarket. Somebody, I mean, they go out, they stock up on lamb, they stock up on this stuff. Somebody hunted that animal and killed it. You just don't know how it was killed. So I can't say for sure if God did not want us to continue to do it this way. I cannot say that. I cannot say that. Well, what I am going to say is Jesus was the sacrificed lamb, and that's already done. So we no longer need to, again, use animals to atone us of our sins. I'm going to say it that way. However, if you are one that, that's why it's so good for us to live in the wilderness and to live off-grid, because that's how we're going to be eating anyway. You know, that's how we're going to be eating anyway, with hunting your own animal, you know, fishing out of the sea, getting your water right off the spring, getting real flour, not this bleached flour. If you've seen real flour, you wouldn't even know what it was. This flour is bleached. You know, everything is just to take us out of what we're supposed to be doing. But anyway, so yeah, if you see if you go to the New Testament, went right before, as Jesus was about to get on the cross, you would see it would be like reading this all over again, except for Jesus was actually that lamb. That's why you get a lot of people that are not familiar with God's plan that'll say, well, there's no way Jesus could have been God's son because he got killed. And if he was God's son, then why did he get killed? Like, they didn't understand he was the sacrificed lamb, you know, that he came to do, amongst other things. He was actually the sacrificed lamb. Remember, it had to be blemish-free? That's why Jesus was without sin. Remember that? No sin. Jesus did not sin. He gets blamed for sinning and drinking wine and all this other craziness. He never did. He never did. That's then false doctrine, because people just didn't read it. He turned water into wine, but he never drank it. You know, he was like a blemish free, because why? He knew who he was. He was going to be the blemish free lamb to be sacrificed. Now, check out another thing you want to pay attention to. Look what they had to do with the blood in verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on two side posts. Two side posts is left and right, okay? And then it says, and on the upper doorposts of the house. Now, remember when Jesus was hung on the cross, right? one hand on this side, the next hand on this side, and then he had the crown on his head, the crown of thorns on his head, just like, right, the sacrificed lamb. That's exact. Did they understand they were helping God fulfill prophecy and atone enough? No. They didn't know that. They had no idea of that, because why would they have helped God fulfill his will? They didn't know that. They thought, you know, they're doing this cruel, brutal, inhumane act. However, it was exactly what was supposed to happen, because that's exactly what God instructed Moses to tell the people to do during Passover. And then let me keep going. I just wanted to make you aware of how Old Testament and New Testament are parallel. They're parallel. Where are we? Oh, and check this out in verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Now, what was Jesus given right before he died? Remember, they dipped it in vinegar, and that vinegar is very, very bitter. When I say there was nothing left out with this act that happened on that cross, because it was really God fulfilling the Passover, there was nothing omitted. Remember, the fine flour had to be mingled with oil. Who didn't Mary Magdalene come and anoint Jesus' feet with oil? Precious oils. And you know he was still smelling it on the cross, right? So there was nothing in violation of the Passover when Jesus came and became that Passover lamb. Every single detail down to the time he died. Because check this out. Now watch this. Check this out. Where are we? Watch this in verse 9. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire. Watch this. His head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it. Now guess what? If you remember correctly, and we'll get to it if we have a moment. If you remember correctly, what did they say after Jesus and the other two gentlemen were crucified? They said, we have to get them down because tomorrow's the Sabbath. We're not going to leave them on the cross. Now, guess what? Let me tell you just how detail-oriented our Creator is. If Jesus wasn't fully dead, they would have had to break his legs, right? Guess what? He was dead. That's why they did not break his legs. Like I said, we know from reading this, we knew, wow, had they have broken Jesus' legs to kill him and then take him off that cross, it would have been a violation of Passover. You get it? It would have been a slight violation, like almost like, you didn't do it right. Everything wasn't, the timing was so far off. But that's how detail-oriented our Creator is. Jesus died the very minute he needed to die, because right when they came over, had he just had a little bit of breath left in him, they would have broke his legs, and that would have been a violation of Passover. They didn't understand it was Passover. We do. That's why we have an awesome recording in this Bible that we can read and say, wow, if Jesus didn't die at that very moment, they would have broke his legs, and then it would not have been a legitimate sacrifice lamb. You understand? So isn't that awesome? Just want to point that out. Yeah, in verse 10, let none of it remain until the morning. Like I said, it's awesome when you understand that, who Jesus was. He was also the unleavened bread. He was also the wine. And if you look at all the rules and instructions that accompanied being the unleavened bread and doing this, you say, oh, wow, is that what Jesus was doing? You know? Where are we? Oh, verse blaming Passover, verse 12. For I will pass through the land. So this is where the Passover comes from. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both male and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So this is God speaking here, okay? This ain't nobody other than God. So we need to understand when God says, when it says thus saith the Lord and all, you can put your stamp on it that's true. You know, when someone else is talking, you got to be careful and make sure what they're saying in Scripture is accurate, or maybe they just was, you know, there's a lot of people that speaking in Scripture. You need to make sure you know who's speaking. This is the Lord speaking here. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So you understand what Passover was? So likewise, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are being passed over from being plagued. I'm going to use the word plagued, okay? Because that's what the enemy goes to and fro, plaguing people. You know, so once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have now taken part in the Lord's Passover because that's already fulfilled. So that's why it's so important to say, you know, you make that. I do it at all my, you know, before I end all my shows. I should say I try to do it before I end all my shows. That's it, to give everyone an invitation to accept the Lord's Passover so that the plague will pass over you. That's what Jesus was, the Passover lamb. Like I said, amongst a lot of things. He was a lot of things. The Son of God, the, you know, our Messiah, a lot of things. But we're just dealing with Passover right now, the seventh beast, excuse me. Okay? So here you can see Jesus all in this. I mean, this should sound very familiar to you. You read it in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, talking about who? The Lord's Passover, Jesus, the Son, Yeshua. Okay? Okay, where are we? So he says in verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a what? Memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance. What? Forever. Okay, so we have to start paying attention to this language in the Bible and stop being lazy enough to say, because it sounds like a whole bunch of stuff. Oh, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and then 7 days, and you got to count that. And people think it's a lot of work, but like I said, we're getting up and doing a lot of work anyway for the enemy in secular jobs. But when it comes to things of spiritual nature or things of God, you know, we don't want to deal with it. Oh, well, I don't got to do that. I'm a believer, and I've been redeemed, and that's it. hey, good for you. But like I said, I am an Israelite. I've discovered I am an Israelite. So these are things Israelites have to do. We allow those Jews to do it. And, you know, taking our instructions, if you will, and now we don't even know what we're supposed to be doing because this is so turned around to the point where we don't even know how to count days. I mean, I just recently found out a few years ago that how to count the days is starting at 6 p.m. up until 6 p.m. the next day, that's actually one day. I was like, what? What's that? I thought it started at midnight. They were like, no. So this whole world, the whole calendar, everything. April is the first month, you know. I'm like, wait, what do you get January? You know, so everything is to confuse us, to deceive us. Everything. I mean everything. Every single thing is deception, okay? But that doesn't mean be deceived. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They are doing what they do. Your job is to go to and fro, deceiving people and destroying people. They get 100 on that test. That doesn't mean we need to stay on our side, though, because we have a Passover lamb. The plagues are supposed to be passing over us. You know? It should be passing over you. If you're getting plagued with sickness and disease and this and that, something is wrong. Something is very wrong. Or you think you're good, but you're not. Just because you said you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's not the end of the story, as we are now finding out. Because I, too, used to think it was that. That's why I sinned for so long. I'm like, oh, okay, well, we good. We believers. I believe it. I just sinned, and I thought that was okay. Start reading, you go, wait a minute. Actually, no, it's not okay. So now we have to kind of relearn everything and kind of try to live a whole new way that we're not used to. You know, we've been sinners since we got here, and sinners up until this day. And then now we're realizing, no, that's not okay. So it's like a whole new awakening, a whole new revelation, a whole new standard. Okay? And again, it's not to make everyone sin conscious. God doesn't want that. It's not to convict your spirits. God doesn't want that. That's not what this show is about, and I'm not qualified to do that. What it is that we need to understand what's going on here, and we need to understand what's expected of us before we leave here so that we can end up in the right place that we are expected to meet and be at is what's going on here, okay? So that's the Passover, okay? I don't think I need to take up more. Wow, we're already an hour in. I don't think I need to take up any more time with Passover. So what I'll do is I'll stop for Q&A after each feast. So now that we just dealt with Passover, if anyone has a question or comment and would like to, again, I don't know if I added before that Passover was to take place in April, which that's supposed to be the beginning of the year, okay? But if I see the chat box is going on, I'm going to try to head all the way up to the top. If you would join in via phone and you have a question or comment regarding Passover or anything that I discussed so far, you know, you don't want to talk about Feast of Tabernacles at this moment because I didn't get there. I had just covered Passover. So if you have a question regarding what's been covered so far, or if you would like to add anything regarding Passover, you're more than welcome to do so. Press 1, and I can unmute your line. If you are on the chat box, I'm just going to try to catch up right now. I see a little bit of activity. Gospel review. Oh, that's somebody's name. Okay. Blessed are they. This is from someone in the chat box called Adimaya Hid Gospel Revealed. Blessed are they with eyes and ears having access to the exceeding knowledge rediscovered beyond faculties of the flesh, that they may keep a feast truly unto the honor of the Most High. Well, absolutely. Thanks for your comment. He has another, this is Ed. I'm thinking Ed, short for Edward. And then he says again, it is because most are concerned first with falling constraints to exalt themselves that they are blind, that lacking the realization of genuine holiness, they only corrupt all the instructions they are given. True indeed, true indeed. We're all guilty of that. Then he says again, to know what is said but not why has not wrought perfect agreement among the congregation. Indeed, after the flesh, men have remained contentious in self-righteousness. Absolutely. Present day, we're all guilty of that. He also goes, not yet regathered unto the will of the One. True indeed. The gathering has started, though. Yep. Again, till we as a people are all one in the knowledge of Yah, all we do, we are not yet saved. True indeed. I definitely agree with that. Like I said, I'm recently stumbling across that because I always believed we were, as sinners, was always saved. So you're absolutely right about that. There's a whole other set of expectations. You're right. That's what, you know, repentance is all about. You're right. He says, Yah desires a people steadfast who speak no lies. Absolutely. Let me keep going. There's some more comments. This world has not genuinely discerned divine plan for many, many generations. Exactly. For refusing to know this, the thoughts of men have become all the more wantonly reprobate after false imagings, far from both foundation and expectation. Absolutely. I totally agree. The gospel has been hid by the mass diversitudes of pretenders, misadministrations. Absolutely, yeah. We were warned of that. They call them false teachers, false prophets, false Christs. Yeah, that's what they come to do, distort the word and act like the word they are replacing it with is the truth. Yeah, and they got 100 at that. Who have no intent to seek nor obey all divine righteousness? Absolutely. And then he posted a link called www. Now, again, folks that are listening and joining, I am not co-signing this link because I like to be careful what it is I'm clicking on and listening to. I'm not co-signing his link. I'm just letting you know he posted a link. If you choose to go to that link after the show, again, be mindful of what your material is you are listening to and studying and even listening. You'd be surprised how access granted just clicking on a simple YouTube. You know, we have to be careful. God wouldn't want us to guard our eyes and guard our ears if we can just start going and doing things. You know, so I'm going to read the website he gives, but again, I don't know what that website is all about. You know, I'm just going to read it. He says it's called www.hiddengospel.com. He posts it again and again and again. And then he goes, Shalom and Neon. Oh, I don't know what that means. Well, like, Shalom. And then he logged off. Okay. So if there's no other questions or comments, again, be mindful when you're clicking into these websites and things of that nature. Okay, everyone? Because you never know. You always want to guard your eyes and guard your ear. And again, I am not co-signing that. I have never clicked in or even read that. I've never clicked in it, so I don't know what it is. I'm just reading what he posted. Okay, so let's go with the next feast on the list. Let's see, it's 4 o'clock. We have an hour. The next feast is... Actually, let me read something that I had got before I close out of Passover. This says, Leviticus 23 specifies that the festival year begins with the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. This calls it Nisan 15. Passover is the feast of salvation. In both testaments, the blood of the lamb delivers from slavery, a Jew from Egypt, the Christian from sin. Think about the 10 plagues in Exodus 12. Oh, okay. When Egypt's firstborn son died while the angel of death passed over the Jewish homes with the blood of the lamb on their doorposts, and the bread Jesus serves as the sacrificial lamb. It is no coincidence that our Lord himself was sacrificed on Passover. In Egypt, the Jews marked his house with the blood of the lamb. Today, the Christians mark his house, his body, the house of the Spirit, with the blood of Christ. Passover then represents our salvation. Oh, okay. Okay, good. Nice explanation. We had already kind of covered that. Okay. So next on the list is unleavened bread. Okay? Unleavened bread. And that's what I love about Exodus and Leviticus parallel. So since we were already in Leviticus 23, let's hold your place in Exodus 12. We're going to read it in both spots. But let's go back to Leviticus 23. And, of course, I did not save the page. Did I? Now, why wouldn't I have saved the page? Okay. Let me just flip to it really quick. Okay. So we covered Passover. Next on the list. Okay, so Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6, starts in with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it says, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. Now, for those that don't know what unleavened bread is, it's bread without yeast. If you know what yeast is, it's almost like fermented spoil bread, if you will, and what it does is it makes the whole lump rise, okay? It makes the whole lump of dough rise, and if you don't have, because I make unleavened bread all the time, well, not all the time, but a few times, and when you don't use leaven, which is yeast, fermented, okay, it won't rise, so it'll just be kind of condensed. But I like it. Like I said, I like it like that. And It's just different. Like you can make a sandwich with it. You definitely would not want to make a sandwich with it, but you can definitely dip it in some olive oil or, you know, put some nice butter on there, and it's great. Like I said, I eat it like that. I cook mine with, I usually bake mine with some nice brown sugar to give it a little sweetness. So that's what I do with mine. And it, like I said, it comes out pretty good. It comes out pretty good. Okay. So where are we? Okay, so now go back to, so now we know what, now we know what leaven is. Leaven is yeast. When the Bible uses leaven, it also uses it to in place of sin. Okay, so when it says, you know, after the Passover, you know, let's read it again. Let's read it again. Okay, why did I let it? Oh, I did save it. Okay, so it says in verse, this is Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Okay, so that's Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now let's look at it from the Exodus point of view. Where are we? Exodus 12. Now, leavened bread, this starts in verse 15. Okay, so Exodus chapter 12, verse 15, which is seeing how it reads in Exodus. 7 days ye shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. The only may be done of you. Okay? So this is saying, after the Passover lamb, 7 days, okay, 7 days after the Passover, do not eat bread with leaven. And it also says, don't even have leavened bread in your house. Now, again, we're going to do the reflection of Jesus. What was the very, very last thing Jesus said before he died? He said, Mary, you know, this is your son. And John, this is now your mother. And then it says in that same day, Mary went to John's house. What was Jesus doing? Remember, at that point on the cross, he had become sin, leaven. Okay? So when he was clearing, when he told Mary and John, you know, Mary, this is your son. John, this is your mother. What he was doing was cleaning the leaven out of Mary's house. Because at that point, he was still a part of her household. You get how awesome and detail-oriented our Creator is? How awesome and detail-oriented is that? He was removing the leaven out of Mary's house himself. Because at that point, like I said, he was sin and leaven and was the Passover lamb. So, you know, and then what happened right before he died? He removed himself from Mary's house so that Mary would be in compliance with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because, again, God doesn't leave no room for error for man to say, well, if Jesus said he was the bread of life, and technically after the Passover, you know, he still was Mary's son living in Mary's house, so technically Mary was in violation of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Do you see how God doesn't leave no room for you to question anything in violation of his rules, his statutes, his laws, his ordinances? There is no room to question it. because Jesus had removed himself from Mary's house. His mother Mary, he had removed himself from Mary right before he took his last. That was the last thing he said before he died. And I always wondered about that scripture. Like, wow, you just got shattered in your body from head to toe, and here you are replacing Mary, giving Mary a replacement son as the last thing. Like, I always read it like that. Like, oh, wow. You know, God doesn't take one thing from you without, you know, restoring you another, is how I always read it. I had no idea it was dealing with the statutes and the laws. I had no idea. And God had to show that to me. I don't even think that's something man can teach you. You know, because like I said, I've been reading that for years and I never understood. I just thought, you know, when God takes something from you, he replaces it with something else. And, you know, since he was dying and, you know, Mary was losing a son, that he was giving Mary a new son. Like, that's how I read it. And technically, that's carnally what took place. Spiritually, it's a whole other thing. Like I said, we're reading about it right here in Exodus, right here in Leviticus. And then when you go to the New Testament, you see how it runs parallel. And what he was doing, preparing Mary's house for the 7 days of unleavened bread feast. How absolutely amazing is that? It's amazing. When you realize how detail-oriented God is, it would be like, whoa. Like, his mind is definitely not our mind. It's not even on the same level. So it's just amazing, like I said, when he reveals something to you from Scripture, it's amazing. It's amazing when you see it from his perspective. And we take our basic, simple minds out of it and say, well, God, give me the revelation to this. I don't understand. You know, he could have worked that out the night before during, when he was taking communion or whatever. He could have worked that out and said, look, John, from now on you're going to live with my mom. I mean, from now on my mom's going to live with you. You know, make sure she's all right. But, no, he did it that very, very, the last breath. So, come on. Was it he forgot? No, he didn't forget. It happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen. Precise Passover. Then comes the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So he did it right at the exact time he was supposed to do it. And I find that absolutely amazing. I find it really amazing. All right, so now that we've dealt with that, okay, with the unleavened bread, let's deal with the next feast on the list. Again, we're still in the spring feast, as they call it. The next is the Feast of First Fruits. And let's pick up with that in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall weigh before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall weigh it. And ye shall offer that day when ye weigh the sheep and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire, unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Okay, so that's what it says in Leviticus 23. And again, that's considered the Feast of First Fruits. And then now let's read it in Exodus. Let's see what Exodus has to say about it. Actually, uh-oh, my son just texted me. Oh, man. Aye, aye, aye. He just texted me. Shit. me, see, I don't know why he would plan his trip to come home right when he knows my show is going on. That's what's so baffling by it. Just give me 1 minute. Let me see if I can. Sorry, guys. If not, I may have to cut the show a little short, like, right? Oh, hold on really quick, everyone. Okay, perfect, everyone. I'm so sorry about that. I was able to, sorry, like I said, he told me something last minute. Let me just text him really quick. Sorry, I know this is so unprofessional. But I did give him a ride, so that's awesome. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. Okay. So where were we? So we just dealt with the first fruits. Yeah, I'm trying to see if Exodus gives the first fruits in Exodus 12. It doesn't. It doesn't look like it. It's going right back into. I thought it was going to go in order like it did. Like it did in Leviticus. I thought it was going to go in order, but that's just exclusive to Passover and unleavened bread. So, anyway, we can keep going. So that's what the first fruits is all about, okay? You know, it was very specific. Like I said, God was very specific with that feast. Now we can move on to Feast of Pentecost. Let's get into that. Let me double check to see if we're still dealing with. Yeah, we're still in this. Okay, we're still in the spring. Pentecost is the last part of the spring feast. So, dealing with the spring feast, first is Passover, second is unleavened bread, third is first fruits, fourth is Pentecost. This is the last spring feast, and let's see what this has to say. Again, we're going to go right back into Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 15, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 15 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of the 2 tenths, they shall be of fine flour, they shall be bacon with leaven, they are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams, they shall be for burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. With the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day, that it may be in holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwelling throughout your generations. So you see how that's very specific? Very, very specific. Very, very. Oh, my goodness, I'm getting another. Oh, man. I may have to, oh, my God. Hold on 1 quick second again. I may have to end the show quickly. Hold on 1 second, please. I'm sorry, everyone. Okay, yeah, I'm going to have to end the show. I am so sorry, everyone. Like I said, I got a last-minute call from my son. He knows, you know, like I said, some people are just not detail-oriented. You figured he would have planned his return home around my show. He knows I do my show Sundays from 3 to 5, but he's a dude. They're not detail-oriented. Anyway, it's only a half hour, so I'm going to cut the show early. We definitely... definitely will continue next Sunday because I really, really want to get into this. I have a few things I want to share about these feasts, also about my experience that I experienced celebrating the feast last year. It was out of this world. So it's a lot of things I want to share that I won't not be able to just, you know, sum up in the next half hour anyway. And then I have a conference call at 6 that I have to be available from. So it just would just make sense to end the show and take care what I need to take care. So I do apologize for that. Anyway, thank you so much for joining today. Again, stay tuned for part 2 next Sunday from 3 to 5. And again, hopefully there will be no distractions. Again, I'm so sorry about this. All right. Have a great week, everyone. Over and out.